Hello everyone, how's it going? Azrin here, owner of the Calgary Language Nerds, with Catherine once again. Hello.
Hello.
So we have two topics today. Well, one primary topic, one quick topic. The quick topic is a follow-up on last week's podcast, or the last podcast of this, which is us talking about student retention. And I've literally yesterday I spent 6 hours on thinking about this topic, reading about this topic, debating in my head, looking at statistics, my business. And I've got some initial insights that have been very interesting. So I learned about something called activation. I learned about something called, actually, I've got notes here. I'm going to open up my notes because it's really
All
interesting.
right. Oh, it
Yeah.
is actually
I mean,
interesting.
I don't want to
And I
spend too
think it's
much on
quite
it
useful
because,
as well.
yeah, I'm not going to spend too much on it because, like, this could literally go. I mean, I spent 6 hours on this. So, like, I could go for hours on the stuff that I came up with, but I'll give a very quick summary. I was taking notes. Here they are. So very, very quickly, activation is the first point where a student, or really in any business, but in this business, a student feels like, ooh, this is good. Like, that was really helpful. The first point where they feel, ooh, that was really helpful. That was really good. That first moment of like, ooh, that was good. It has to come fast. That's the first thing. They have to get that quickly. If they don't get that feeling quickly, they drop off. And businesses, apparently, that's a thing where companies try to make their activation benchmark. They have different activation benchmarks, not just one often. Or actually, I'm gonna research that again. I can't remember if there's only one or if there's multiple, but anyway, at least the first one, minimally, it has to come quickly. And if it comes quickly, it has a very positive impact on retention, which I didn't know. And I think about people who stop taking classes, it's often because they take class for 2 months. Or a month or whatever it is. And like, it was just hard. Like, they didn't really get any initial, like, ooh, that was good. They didn't ever get that. It's just like really tough for 2 months. They're like, oh, I don't want to keep doing this. The second thing I learned is about mirrored communication. So activation has to happen very soon, right? So very as quickly as possible, they have to feel like, oh, that was pretty good. Ooh, I learned something. That was exciting. That was fun. That was whatever, right? The second thing is mirrored communication, which is interesting. Mirrored communication means the number of touch points, contact points you have before the transaction. So track them, like consultation, the when they initially email, whatever the number is, right? In my case, it's about, well, doesn't really matter, but there's a certain number before they make a purchase. You have to have that certain number after the purchase. Because
That's
after someone makes a
not a bad
purchase,
idea.
yeah,
That's
just
not
to
a
like
bad idea. I've never
maintain the
thought about
key.
it.
Yeah, how's your classes going? How was that go? How did that go? Blah, 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 right? So just to make sure like you're nicely transitioning the early phases, because otherwise it's like a one night stand. Woohoo, I had sex with her and see ya, peace, got your money. Woohoo, got the money. Yes. All right, got the sale. Okay, now just go take your classes. I'm not paying
That's
anything.
so cool. That's like, I mean, I know that it should be evident, but you know those things that are evident after you've learned them? You're like, ah, of course. But you've
So,
never known about them before.
yep, just activation, mirrored communication. I've reworded this into like our terms, like communicating progress regularly. That's the teacher though, not me, but like actually sharing and writing and orally, like, oh, I noticed that you've gotten better at this. Good job, right? That's really important. A big one, this one, I was like, oh my God, this is so true. And this is like, this becomes probably in large part my job. It's called ongoing onboarding. So onboarding means like you onboard a new student, like you're kind of bringing them on to staying classes, but ongoing onboarding means you're always onboarding them. So what that means is after they start, there are lots of reasons as to why they're going to struggle. You're onboarding, you have to have communication that teaches them how to what those things that are going to be difficult, what obstacles are going to hit, so they're aware of them, and then how do they overcome them. So it might be like we know after whatever, X number of classes, we know that they're going to be discouraged, or we know when we teach pretérito versus imperfecto, they're going to be confused. So before that happens, it's communication to be like, here's what's really common. You're going to get really confused, and here's why it's confusing, and here's what you're going to do when you're confused. So you're prepping them for the emotional lows in advance. The fifth one is time to value, which is like, how long does it take for them to be like, wow, these classes have really worked? Like, it's really working. Because initially there's the activation point, which is like, oh, this is cool. Oh, I learned something, which is exciting. But how long does it take for a student to go, oh, this has actually worked? Like, these classes have worked. Oh, this is working. right? I'm actually gonna write that wording. I like that. Like, this is working. This is working. I'm out of my notes. Then that's a fifth point that's important to look at. There's a bunch. I mean, I could keep going. Like, I have a whole, like, there's a lot. But that's like a good starting, but there's like a lot that
It's
I've learned.
really interesting though, and I've just yet again kind of felt like many of the things I've done are not to be blowing my own horn, but like I do them intuitively almost all the time. Like activation, for example, it clicked in my brain just now because always, I mean, the first lesson or the trial lesson or whatever, I'm trying my best to create this feeling. And to not necessarily to sell myself, to listen to what their story is and to tell them exactly why is it is me that I can help them with this, this, and that. And usually by the end of the lesson, if the lesson falls through, that's going to be this kind of feeling of wow, oh,
I
that's so
see.
cool. That's so I didn't do that deliberately necessarily, but I kind of know intuitively that that's the feeling I aspire for in my trial lesson. If it doesn't happen this way, that's a massive failure, and I'm going to be miserable for a week or so, I guess. It rarely ever happens, but when it does, it kind of genuinely upsets me. It's like that's what I aspire for all the time, every time. And then, for example, the ongoing, what was it? Ongoing.
Ongoing onboarding. Is that it?
Yeah, I do that. Yeah, I do that all the time when I know it is easy for me to do that in English. Second best to what the struggle is, and with the methods that I use, I know exactly where those like emotional points are going to come and everything like that. And I always make jokes about them and stuff like that. In a sense, I'm like, oh well, it is today is going to be a horrible day, but nobody will die. It's all fine. You will survive. And it's kind of like I try to make this light-hearted examples when it's difficult and stuff like that. And even though people are confused and things like that, like for example, I did do that with. Funny enough, with this trial Russian class that I took, well, that I taught, I guess, because I know exactly, because there is a list of words that I wanted to show to the students so that they learn Cyrillic really quickly. And I know exactly which words they will hate the most because all of the students kind of experienced the same thing. And I kind of just like made jokes about it. It's like, and it says, oh, well, this word, you're going to love that. And they're like, well, actually, I don't. Like, yeah, well, kind of figured. And this is something that I think a good teacher will do intuitively. Well, I'm not saying that whoever doesn't do it is not a good teacher, but somehow I think it falls into intuitive category. Because obviously you feel like empathy with the person that you're teaching. So you're going to be trying to
I
sort
am
of like
listening, by the way.
ease
I'm just
them
actually, you're
through.
giving me ideas. I'm taking
I don't
notes.
know, no.
Sorry, I am
No
listening.
worries,
I
no
know I'm
worries.
looking at you. I'm like looking away, but actually, give me ideas. I'm writing notes, so keep going.
Yeah, no, totally. And I'm the same, to be honest. I can do multiple things at the same time. But then I don't know. It's kind of I really like the mirror communication point because that one I have never thought about, but I think it makes total sense. Also because I think it kind of shows. I don't know. Lately, I've been thinking a lot about the standard of the quality of the service that I provide and what are my values as a service provider. Like I've thought that a lot. For example, I used to, well, before working in Calgary Language Nerds, but for like a brief period of time when I was learning the ropes about teaching online, I would like, for example, teach from my laptop, which means that I can teach from anywhere I want and stuff like that. And I've noticed a massive difference from that period of time to the period of time that I got the home office. I have the specific like set computer and everything like that. I can't go anywhere. This is where I work. This is the and the for example the scheduling process, email, stuff like that. The more optimized it is, and the more kind of like standard of service, like the quality of service, the better it gets. The more likely the person that you are providing the service for will stay. And I think this mirror communication stuff, it's one of those high quality of service markers, I think. Because as a, if I was a, I don't know, as a student, I'm quite picky myself. And if a person, well, it depends really on what my relationship to the teacher is. If I'm taught by my friend or a fellow teacher, well, obviously I'm taught by a teacher, but in a sense that, like, if I feel like I want this moment for this teacher to be like a relaxing chit chat moment and stuff like that, and I don't really care for those things, but I know what I'm paying for and know what the. But if I went to like a language school or stuff like that, I would be on a constant lookout for those things. As in, the service needs to be not perfect necessarily, but it needs to be held to a certain standard. But well, I don't know.
Yeah. Interesting. There's lots we can say, but yeah, there's so much I could say on this, but maybe
I don't mind
that's,
talking about it,
yeah,
to be
but
honest.
I don't want to, we're limited time, and I'm thinking
And the other topic as well.
like your other topic. It's actually very interesting. Curiously, I have to say, okay, I have one last thing I'll say, and then let's go to your topic. So I liked your topic suggestion, and I'm curious what you have to say. One thing I'm so like all those things I mentioned to you, there's more, but I'm trying to think of like how to implement them. So some are really easy, like mirror communications, like pretty straightforward. Like it's got to figure out like at what points are logical to like reach out and check in how they're doing. Like that's pretty straightforward. I can do that. But the activation, I had a really interesting idea. Because you're trying to get a fast win, quote unquote, right? You want them to feel like that was pretty good. And apparently, well, one way to do it is to make sure that the initial purchase that anyone ever makes, they have no choices about what they're going to do. This is the package they purchased. This is how it works. This is the system. But the system, their the structure of the classes is such that you know they're going to get a fast win, and you're going to be proving that, oh, this is good. So one thing I was thinking about is every single person who pays, right? People usually pay for 4 to 8 classes a month. So 1 to 2 classes a week is very typical, right? There's exceptions, but generally 1 to 2 a week is pretty common. You'd agree, right? Like anyone you worked with, it's pretty typical.
Pretty
One
much.
or two a week. Well, I was thinking like the first purchase, you're gonna take, so probably it's gonna be 4 or 6 classes in 2 weeks. So you have 2 intensive weeks. I'd call it a running start. That'd be the name of it. And the reason is, well, A, it gives you a running start, which is as great as it is, because you're gonna have these 2 weeks where you're gonna progress quite a bit in 2 weeks doing that many classes for 2 weeks, right? I also like that because for those who go, ooh, I don't know if I could fit that in my schedule, one thing I notice is like the people who stick around are generally the more dedicated students. They're people that really care, and this is the priority for them. They make time for language learning. I thought it was people who are making big payments. Initially, I was like, oh, is it the rich? Like the people who are making big payments, are they the ones that are like taking classes the longest? Not always. Actually, often no. It's like 50-50. Yeah, 50% of them, yes, is people that make big payments. They pre-purchase a whole bunch of classes, they take the classes, they pre-purchase more. But no, that's not like by there's no pattern there, because a lot of people make like they pay monthly and they pay $100 a month, but they've done it for like 4 years. So it's like very consistent, right? I was like, what's the thread? And I noticed one common thread is that they're all, it looks like, that's my hypothesis, that the ones who stick around logically are ones that care deeply about language learning. They really like it. They're really interested. Maybe they really need it. Maybe it's really deep need or deep interest, and they make it a priority.
And it
And
could be
so
their outlet as well, on the other
could be
hand.
an
I'm sorry to
outlet. Yep.
interrupt.
Could be an outlet.
Because, for example, I have people who are like dedicated, la 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 la, stuff like that. Or I have people who come there more so because that's their activity where they don't need to be responsible. Well, I mean, they need to be responsible, but it's not their job, it's not their family, it's not their, it's like a safe space that they can have.
That makes
And this
sense.
is kind of like psychological, because that's what I do with my piano and everything. I have been learning piano for I don't know how many years already, but I didn't progress all that much, but I don't care because that's my safe space. I go
Hey,
there.
I'm really curious. So for your thing, like the students you've taught and your piano, you can look at both. Do they do anything outside of class?
Me, no, because
Okay.
I'm stupid like that.
What about the
If I
students?
did, but those people, they do, actually, they do, but they do something that the homework has to be fitting for their personality and schedule. Like, for
Fine.
example, I have this one person, right? We in class, oh, you will obviously know who that is, but we in class just do anything and everything pretty much. This 1 week, she will bring a journal that she made in the language. Or this other week, we do, she does have a textbook, but we kind of agreed that she only will do it if she likes to. Basically, if she likes the exercises, whatever she likes, there is no pressure on that. And it works really well because she does progress through the textbook, but also sometimes she will come up with some sort of a creative task, or maybe she'll write a poem, or maybe she'll write, she can do anything. There's no set homework. Like whatever she wants to do, she will
And
do,
does
and I
she
don't
do?
care about that.
I'm really curious. This will actually help my, this might help my, as I like keep working on this retention. So these people, for you anyway, like for example, this one student or others, like do they do, maybe it's not, it's homework that they are going to do, but do they spend time like outside of class, or they're just coming to class? Because the reason I asked is because I was thinking, like, if someone can't fit in, let's say it's 3 classes a week for 2 weeks, like, ooh, that doesn't, I can't find time. That in my mind, it probably means they're not going to be long-term students, because I want people that have, you know, that can take 1 class a week, fine, but do a couple of hours or something outside of class, you know? But
It
if you're telling
depends.
me a lot of them are not doing that, maybe.
Yeah, it depends so much on the personality, to be honest. There are two ways. So there are one type of a person is a diligent, language focused, and kind of like the person who needs the language for whatever reason. They will do all the homework in the world. There will be, and also that's a personality. That person is responsible, and the person is really trying their hardest, and they do care about, as you say, they do care about the language learning. So that's on the one hand. On the other hand, the hobbyists, so to speak, they will stick around if you provide them with something like, well, not psychologically, but you provide them with something that they feel, I guess, this activation point all over again every time, because you make them feel great in class, and they that maybe they are also, well, for example, me with piano, I'm aware of my progress and that it's not ideal.
See what
Like
you're
I'm
saying.
well aware. I'm well aware that. And anytime I play, I kind of can feel how I could have done 2 hours of that at home, and I would come to class, and I would be probably perfectly able to crack the piece and to do it amazingly, but I don't because for obvious reasons. But it doesn't really matter to me. Like I'll still be paying, keep paying for the classes because that's me time. It's a little bit the difference between, I guess,
I understand, yeah.
the difference between, I don't know how to compare it, but for example, it all depends on the objective. If you want to learn a language and you have a measurable goal and you have a measurable like time frame for that, I want to be fluent in whatever the months and stuff like
Sure.
that. That requires actually hard work, dedication. You can't really just pop and go. But if your goal is to be happy and to self-care and to use language for that, which I think it's a wonderful goal, to be honest. I don't know,
Yes.
I have had such a mentality shift this last week. I don't know what happened, but I am the person who's very diligent, who's very responsible, and kind of like I do everything that I need to do. But then I realized the importance of the self-care as well, as in
Self-care, that's the word. Yeah.
the me time. And I kind of realized that I want to be, as an educator, I not only want to be this professional, very good person who like gets you to your goals and stuff like that, but I kind of don't mind being the self-care person.
Well, no, that's a very good point. Yeah, I understand. So what I'm taking away, and I wrote notes on this too, because that makes a lot of sense, because I'm thinking of the people that I've taught personally, and like the one that has stuck around. They are, how do I word this? They're two things in one, really. They're both the ones that I can think of. They're kind of two things in one. They do want to learn, and that is important. And they are at least somewhat diligent outside of class. Now, what I mean by somewhat is like some of them are like gung ho and they really do a lot, and that's great. But some of them, they have a routine they're following, and it's, half an hour a day, 15 minutes every 2 days. It's something, and it may not be crazy amount, but it's consistent every week. And they do want to get better, and they figured out how much they time you want to put in, and it's respectable. It's a good amount of time, but it's by no means like a ton of time, right? And but then they come to class, yes, because they want to learn, but also partially because they're enjoying the experience of being in class. Like, and actually, the majority, I'm gonna right after this evening rather, because I have something right after our podcast. But this evening, I'm actually gonna look at the student list again. I'm gonna look at people I've taught. I'm gonna look at people I know better, because I don't know all the students super well, because obviously maybe I've only met them once or twice, but there's some that I hear about or that I've met, I really know. I'm gonna look through, and like I'm thinking the majority of the ones that stick around, apart from these mirror communications and yes, all these things that I've talked about, but I think personality-wise for them, they are relatively serious about learning. Relatively, maybe very. Some of them are very. I can think of a few that are like they really want to learn. But then all of them also enjoy the class experience. And so what's happening in the class is they're getting this dopamine burst or serotonin burst, maybe, or a positive hormone change in each class combined with learning. And yes, and oh man, that's such a big epiphany, because I could think of people that I know, a lot of long-term students actually. Not so much nowadays, but I meant because I don't teach as much as I used to. But I remember people I used to teach that were like super long term. Progress was quite slow because they didn't come to class for the language. The language is actually secondary. Like this one guy in particular was like the most extreme example. I eventually stopped taking, eventually, like we agreed he has to stop taking classes. Like we both kind of agreed, like this is, come on, buddy. Like, we have to like call a spade and spade a spade and say like, why are we paying for classes? Oh, you're paying for this purpose, okay? Because he took classes for years, and years couldn't even say hi, how are you? Like it was, and he, but he was paying because he enjoyed
The experience.
the experience of just being in class and hearing about my life and me asking stuff about him, and then him trying to say something, making a fool of himself, laughing over the silly pronunciation. But we got on so many tangents, and he never really, he would pay for stuff, wouldn't even show up, and be like, oh crap, bill me anyway. Like, for years, this guy did this. But I was like, yeah, he liked the experience of the class. They're paying for the experience, but they're telling himself it's like they are paying for the language, but they're definitely paying for the experience too. And I think, yeah, that's interesting. Thank you.
I don't
I
know if
want to go to
that's
your.
dishonest.
Wait,
I don't know if
I really like your topic. Do you want to go to your topic, or do you want to keep going
yeah,
this?
let's go really
It's up to
quick.
you. It's up to you. If you're enjoying this conversation, we can keep
Actually,
going.
no, I'm enjoying this. We can do the next my topic the next time. Maybe I'll have more insights by the because it's brewing. It's brewing. My topic is like
Because we both like to talk.
still
We both talk, and so like we'll just go off on all these tangents, like never stick to the thing. Like, I swear
man.
to God, my intention was quickly share a few things,
No,
and then
but
be like, all
it
right.
makes sense though. I don't know. I don't. Do you think that it's dishonest though to be using the class time for that purposes? Because I see where you're coming from. As a teacher, obviously you want your student to progress and stuff like that. But I don't know. Slowly but gradually, I come in and come into terms with the fact that universal truth is that the advance of technology is going to eradicate the need in knowing languages really quickly. And as a man, I may be wrong, but I kind of noticed that in the jewelry shop, right? So jewelry can be made on the 3D printer really easy. But the mold is made in a 3D printer, and then you just like pour the silver or gold in it, and that's the piece. 15 minutes or so, I don't know. But we make things by hand, and it's less perfect than the thing that is made obviously by the 3D printer, right? And that's what people buy. And also they buy the experience of seeing how this person with their own hands do that. And it's not going to be as perfect as the piece that is made on the printer, stuff like that. But people kind of now are craving authenticity. I believe that people now are craving this kind of like personal touch, third places, authenticity and stuff like that. So I believe that the future of language teaching is going to be purely kind of, well, not purely. Okay, there are still will be people who want to use their brain. Hopefully, I hope for that. But otherwise, we're doomed. But also hedonistic in a sense that, like, I personally, a person who, oh, Jesus, I personally a person, but I use my brain a lot in my, I mean, I use my brain. I work mostly. It's not a physical labor. No, it's mostly like brain labor. So when I come to class, I not always want to think. So for example, I would go to French classes just to gossip, was because it was a friend of mine as well. And I know that she's tired too. And as a teacher, she could have made a program for me. She's overly qualified. She's a perfect, amazing person. She studied in the same university as I did and stuff like that. But I would pay for literally just gossiping in French about the people we hate. And I know it's not productive necessarily, but I kind of was. And I don't think she will charge me the same amount. Well, she would give me a discount because obviously I'm her friend, but she would charge me roughly the same amount as any other class that is focused on goals and stuff like that. And I don't think it is dishonest to do that, even though we just do nothing, basically, just hee hee ha ha in French. I don't think hee hee ha ha in French is a bad tactic.
Yeah, because I'm t all I want is like I just want people to like it enough to want to stay for a long time. Like I'm sure if you're to like dig into my psyche, there's like some reason for it. But like for I'm obsessed. I've ever since I've been in business, which is like 13 years now.
Oh.
So 18, my first 17 technically, but really 18s. Let's say 18s, but like I was really not doing a real business and not doing ridiculous nonsense that is never going to go anywhere. But anyway, 18, and like I remember from day like even in that first year, I've always been obsessed with retention. I really like customer retention. And then with employees, I like employee retention.
You didn't mention that actually.
I
I think
really like
that
retention.
I don't know, it's a good thing to mention on the interview, to be fair. I did appreciate it. I remember it to this day, funny enough. But you said, oh, people usually work for me for a long time. And I don't know what you said it in such a way that it was super like kind of endearing. And I was like, oh, that's cool. That kind of is reassuring with people working for you for a long. I don't know why. But then you did note to that in a very robotic kind of like yappy sort of I don't know girl boss way. I don't know if you
Girl
get
boss,
me.
that's so funny.
No, but you know the type, like the entrepreneurs that was like, oh yeah, well, people work for a long time for my company and it's so fake. And you're like, no, they don't, do they? But you kind of said it very sincerely, and I was like, oh, they actually may do then. Because you didn't really try to deceive me with that either.
I just want to, I basically like want, it's my goal to be cut, like it doesn't always happen. But I basically, yeah, it doesn't always happen and I'll get better at it. I've gotten better and we'll keep getting better. But I want to essentially become, if I can, become like a friend, like become friends with everyone. And I know people say like, oh, your boss, it's your boss, shouldn't be your friend. Like people say that. And I get it. Like I understand. I do get it. And maybe if there's like hundreds of people who work for you, it's different and you can't, maybe, because I don't know if hundreds, it's like 20 or whatever there is, but 20 some odd people. And I'm not necessarily friends with all of them. What am I trying to say? What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say something. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but
Well,
it's
the
like,
retention, isn't it, kind of?
well, it's like, I just want it to be like, I don't really know. Okay, I'll just, what am I trying to say? Like, I want it to be really good for you. Like, if you're taking classes, it should be good for you. Like, it should be good. And it should be like, well,
Yeah.
why would you stop doing something that's really good?
Yeah,
If you like it,
exactly.
if you really like it,
Exactly.
why would you stop? Like, if it's really good for you. Like, I remember this, I had this, like, with Seaham. Do you know Seaham? Have you met Seaham? You know
Yeah,
Seaham.
I did
So
it.
Seaham does some of the social media. She does French, but she also does some social media stuff. And she's the one who got me onto ChatGPT Voice. Like to talk to ChatGPT and like have conversations with it and to practice your speaking and like so she got me onto that and we were like I was playing with it. She's literally came to my house for social media stuff and for half the time she's at my house. I was like, with her phone, because I don't have it on my phone. I have it now, but at the time, I was like, wait, what if I try this? She's like watching me play with it, and she's thoroughly enjoying me. Hey, do you think I can make him slow down? She's like, I don't know, try. Okay, let's see if I can do it. And she's like spectating, and she's like laughing at me the whole time. And like I was like, hey, you have an accent in English. Why don't you try saying this? Will it correct your pronunciation? She's like, okay. And then anyway, so, and then she's like, why are you so obsessed with this? I was like, and I said, jokingly, but also not jokingly, oh, I'm wondering if I shut my business down. Like that was my thought. I was wondering if I shut my business down. I was like, oh, this is really good. Like, why would you hire a tutor? Like, just do this thing. It's free. Like, it's amazing. Why would you hire someone? I'm trying to figure out if there's a need for us to do what we do. And she's like, what? But I like my job. And I was like, oh, yeah. I'm not gonna like shut it down. I was joking. I'm not gonna like tomorrow I'll be like, hey guys, sorry. Now that it's ChatGPT, everyone, sorry, we don't teach anymore. Like, no, I'm not gonna do that. That's just silly because people want to work with humans. Like, I get it. This was half joking. But I was thinking at the time, like, okay, well, this is like an adequate tutor in your pocket for free. Adequate. Makes mistakes, not perfect, but adequate voice tutor you can talk to and stuff, right? I found limits so that there clearly is still lots of places for people to teach languages. So I'm not shutting the business down. But that was a thought process, like, oh, do we need to offer the service? Because I just want what's good for the end person. If it's better for the end person to then use ChatGPT or hire an italki tutor or use this textbook, please go do that. Don't pay me. And same with the work frame. Like if there's something better for you, like if it's not good, leave. Like we shouldn't do that.
Exactly.
Why are you here?
No, I think what actually different, like what actually makes you different from the most of the businessmen is that you have a very clear honest limitation. I mean, it's
Honest what?
a but it kind of like I don't know how to explain that, but you have the thing that holds you back in many opportunities for making much more money is that you operate from the honesty perspective. I do too. I hope I do because that's kind of it would be a bit sad if I didn't. But it's kind of like you want to do what's honest. You don't want to do what's the most profitable. You don't want to do, I mean, if it's the same thing, then great. But for example, you kind of operate from honesty, and that shows throughout what you do because usually you can sense it on people. It's how I sell as well. For example, in jewelry shop, I made a big sale the other day. Like, I don't know, I sold my monthly salary worth of jewelry,
Wow.
and it was really easy. I did like. My sales pitch was literally, I was just genuinely just describing the product, but I didn't sell it. I was like, I don't care if you sell it, if you buy it or not, to be honest. I kind of do because it pays my bills, but I was like, well, yeah, kind of, you can get it if you want it. But they see that I'm honest with it and they kind of drawn to it. They're like, oh, well, you're not lying to me. You're not trying to like pitch the whole thing about it. I was like, well, because what's the point in that? And then I think that what makes it that what makes this sort of thing, they say, oh, I can just shut my business down because there are like a better thing on the market and stuff like that. Obviously, it makes no sense from the sales perspective or like business perspective because kind of like, well, but how do you make money? You need to, but then it makes sense from the honesty perspective, and this is how you will be pretty much. I would reckon that people would still want to buy stuff from you, even if you
Yeah,
don't
but
sell anything.
I also think that maybe this is I'm just having faith that this is the case, but I'm pretty sure this is true. That dishonesty has a shelf life. So yeah, you might make more money this year, next year, in 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, fine. But then year seven and year six and year nine, it has to catch up because lies and dishonesty has a shelf life, but honesty doesn't, because it just is. Like you keep checking on it, it's still that, like it's still what you said. So like if I were to shut it down, like first of all, I wouldn't just shut it down. Like, hey guys, pay all students, like mass email to everyone, hello, I recently discovered ChatGPT has a voice function, it's better than all of our tutors, you no longer have a tutor, everyone's lost their job, goodbye, good luck finding new work, I'm gonna start a new business, peace. Like first of all, I'll never do that. Although that'd be a funny April Fool's joke, but not really so funny.
Yeah, no, because how would the people be just like so confused? Yet again, I would not go to Robert for the
If
Rob
his name
of
was
the day.
Robert?
No, that that's it. That's it. That's it. I can't. I'm refusing to call anything else. But the thing is, people will still go to. I hope so. People will still go to a like a person to think to do things because of that. Cause like otherwise we're just gonna lay down in our bed and play on our phones 24/7. Nobody will ever go out for nothing. And I mean, might as well get everyone a universal basic income, and we just can play on our phone every day and then and call it a day.
It
What's
was
the point
interesting.
in every?
It was interesting
What's the
because
point in anything?
I came to a similar, like I had this thought twice. There's been two times where I've had this thought, and once was when I used ChatGPT, the texting, and the second time was using the voice feature, which is really good. It's really good, and it's only going to get better. It's only going to get better, right? So as awesome as it is now, like in 2 years, it'll be like mind-blowingly. It'll have like real voices that sound, still the voices are already amazing. But it'll be even more human. And like I had the thought, I actually had three thoughts. Two thoughts. One thought is it has limits. There's limits. Like, oh, it can't do this, but a human can. Oh, it can't do this, but humans can. Oh, it's okay at this, but a human's better. Oh, it's kind of glitchy because of this. Or so that makes it humans better. But over time, it's gonna eat those up. It's going to eat it up. It'll be better than human over time, right? At least a lot of those things. But the second thing I thought, I've had that thought twice. It's exactly what you said. Like, oh, but it's not human. And I was
It
like,
has to be.
remember, sometimes I'll Google stuff versus ChatGPT because I want the human answer. Like, I don't actually don't
Exactly.
want the computer. I want the human. I even though it's going to be the same sounding, I want the human. And I was like, oh, that's
Yeah,
interesting.
exactly.
So
And you can even
interesting.
feel it. You can even feel, and it's going to be the same as with jewelry. People go to our store to make their own wedding rings, and they're going to turn out, okay, they're not going to turn out rubbish, but they're going to turn out not necessarily perfect. They're going to be like, if you are meticulous and you just like stare at it for long enough, you'll see how it's faulty. And I want a faulty one. I don't want a perfect one. I don't know the 3D printed one, you know what I mean? What's the point in that? I can make it at home.
Yeah,
You know
even
what I
if it was,
mean?
even if it was 3D printed with imperfections, you're like, yeah, but that's a planned imperfection.
Yeah, no. And that's why, I don't know, that's why, for example, a language teacher and everything that becomes your potentially, it's the same, for example, I started to do a lot of like kind
I'm
of
really sorry to
introspection
interrupt
stuff
you,
like
but
that. Oh, no
I
worries.
actually have a time limit today because I have two more meetings.
Yeah, well, never mind. That's why we have to do it weekly, because there's so much. Oh man. Oh well, next week my topic.
Next week, your topic on grammar.
All right.
Remind me, don't let me forget, because a lot will happen in a week. Actually, you know what? Funnily enough, I feel like you're the same way.
Yeah.
So again, I was thinking about like monkeys. Do you think like how monkeys? Do you ever think about how monkeys do? Oh yeah, monkeys. Yeah, you know I like monkeys. Tell me about more monkeys, Catherine. And like 6 months later,
It's just like that.
what happened to that grammar
It's
topic?
just
Oh yeah, I forgot about that grammar topic.
empty eyes.
The
Stuff
idea.
like
All
that. All
right.
right.
See you later.
See you, good one. See you
All right.
there. Bye bye.